So let's discuss a few things here. We'll get to your events and things because I know there's a busy January coming up
always,
you.
Always.
And we'll get into those kinds of things. But I want to begin, first of all, before we actually talk about the Oxford area, but in a kind of a general broad statement. And I don't know if there are numbers or if there are things that you have for this area or wherever, but how the arts drives the economy, whether it is here in the area that, you lead, and that's the Oxford LaFayette County area, the state of Mississippi, or anyone listening.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting time to talk about this. The legislature went back to session, and if you heard the interviews with all the legislators, they talked about economic growth in Mississippi. They talked about bringing jobs to Mississippi. All great things. They talked about infrastructure and education. These things are all related. And I know it seems odd as people are listening, like, well, why do they have the arts guy talking about economic development? Well, a few reasons. One, arts for Mississippi are a major economic driver. 23 million people come to our state every year for tourism. And what are they coming for? They're coming for arts and culture, history, all of these things that are culture-related, things you can't buy in another state.
Sure.
So it's a major driver of food service, jobs, employment, gas stations, all these, the retail, all of these things which are core underpinnings of communities. As you say, people go, oh, we really wish we had this store or that. Well, the way you have that is these numbers, because we're by nature a rural state. So as we look to the legislators talking about economic development and jobs, what I hope they'll look to is the entrepreneurial nature of creative people. And most people, when we're talking about art, they start thinking, well, you know, I don't understand how a ballet or a painter is really going to help jobs, or how much money do they actually make. In the state of Mississippi, some of the highest paid people are in the arts. They're in the technical fields of the arts, the filmmaking, the audio production, the digital content development and management, booming industries. And the great thing about these industries is they don't require kind of the population of Mississippi to drive them. They're working across the web. So they're bringing in money from outside. That's a boon to Mississippi economy. They're creating high-tech jobs, high-paying jobs, and they can be located anywhere. So people are picking where they want to live. So they're picking quality of life and opportunity for career. So whether they're sportsmen and outdoor people, but producing podcasts or film or tech or design, they can live in a great community, that, which Mississippi has a lot of, Oxford being obviously a nice beacon for people.
Sure.
So they can live in a community like this. You know, you've got someone, look at Ace Atkins. Ace Atkins lives on a historic farm. He's a nationally known writer, you know, travels. He's bringing in his business and industry, and his publicists are having to deal with him here. So you've got someone that's in a very high profile, you know, part of the arts. But business and development, as they talk about that, you're looking at entrepreneurial people. Mississippi doesn't need to attract businesses to come here to employ people. We need to build businesses up. And that's why you need the arts and the creative economy there. They're small-based. They start out small. They're entrepreneurial. Research shows that arts graduates, and you know, our parents both told us, you're going to college and you need to get a degree where you can get a job.
Yeah.
Well, arts graduates are 2 times more entrepreneurial than other U.S. workers. Between 10 to 20% of art school graduates founded an organization. So you're really looking at, we want people that are invested in the community, that are going to stay, that aren't going to transfer or relocate a business for a tax incentive, that what they're building is about where they are. And Mississippi is rich in that culture and history. We have great universities that are putting out very smart, very talented people, and we have an entrepreneurial nature by heart. So this is what we should focus on if we're going to grow a business, if we're going to improve jobs and create opportunities for people, is support entrepreneurial businesses in Mississippi.
A couple of things that I wanted to grab out of what you just said there. It was earlier this week that I was at a coffee shop preparing for this week, preparing for the next week, and other things that I have going on, and I'm sitting there, and you know, you're there, and you try not to listen in on too many conversations, but there, you know, sometimes it just happens. They're a little loud right next to you talking about what they're doing, and you're just quiet, as I was, booking guests, doing things, and putting on Facebook, hey, any show ideas, you know, things of that nature. And it happened to be a couple of students from Ole Miss that are in the major of film and talking about things. And I heard the question, do you plan on staying in the state? Or I think there was an internship that was going to happen maybe in California. Are you coming back? You know, are you going to go and come back? Are you going to stay? And that is an issue that Mississippi has in this world as well as others, is how we can keep people in Mississippi doing things like the arts or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, what we want is entrepreneurial people. Most businesses intersect the arts. So if you realize things like, you know, how do you get your television, your movies right now? Are you streaming them? Are you Netflixing them? Are you listening? I guess podcast is an evil word on radio, but...
No, because you know, we have, look, the Super Talk, everybody these days, except for me, has a podcast going right now. And it seems like, I think I probably ought to start one, because every other show, it's gone that way. Radio has had to embrace that.
Yeah. So there's, you know, as we see the technology change, you are seeing this is how people are defining themselves, and this is how people are engaging, and this is how people are reaching beyond. A lot of the work we do is not about... You know, we are very focused on how we serve the community, how we provide an enriching experience. But our strategy to get there is how do we create businesses with creative people in the community that will then, in turn, produce a product that will engage the community. So the Fiber Arts Festival, something we're going to talk about later, that's one of the events coming up this month, is a partnership between a group that has now raised enough money that they hire a coordinator to do it, who works all year on making it a bigger, better, and bring people to our community event. This is entrepreneurial. We now have people traveling from 8 different states to come for this festival. So we want to fight brain drain. We want to have things that intersect. So technology is part of art. When, you know, people don't realize this, but someone can write the code. That's great. Those guys over at FNC are super smart.
Yeah.
But you know what they have to hire? They have to hire someone with a liberal arts education to communicate to the customer and interface between the guy that's writing the code that says, I don't understand why this bank doesn't understand how to do our mortgage processing and the coding. Why can't he just do... They need someone that writes the materials to help sell it, design it, do the interfacing, all these things involve a more liberal arts education, you know, and as we have to embrace the technology. Filmmaking, the great thing about filmmaking is it can happen anywhere. People can live here and go off and make things. It also brings stories here and champions our place. You know, you look at industries that are growing, $28 billion in streaming in music per year. That doesn't have to happen in L.A. What state is the home of more roots of American music than Mississippi? So you look at things like Malico Records in Jackson, which is the anchor of kind of Mississippi music with gospel roots and traditional music. It is a powerhouse based in Mississippi. You look at Fat Possum and how they can embrace, you know, technology and how they're distributing things. So really... These industries that are bringing in music, building studios, the things you don't see. You don't go into you know, Fat Possum or Sweet Tea or those others and go like, I'd like to produce me a record today.
Right.
You know, what do you got on sale? I'd like the 1995 package. We all need an Ace Hardware, but you also need that industry that, you know, is not in a sense customer driven, retail driven, but is a tech. And the numbers show Mississippi is primed to do well in these industries. We have the art and the culture. We have the product they can't make in China. We've got the roots and the things people are looking for, and you can see it just by the tourism numbers. Our population is 3 million, 23 million people come. That businesses are looking for, this is from a national study, 60% of industry leaders say that creativity is the most important skill set people need for, you know, in an employee. I need someone that's going to problem solve. I need someone that's going to strategize. I need someone to be forward thinking. So they're no longer looking for, do you have an accounting degree and can you add two and two? It's, do you have a skill? Can you think creatively? Can you capture a trend that's going forward? Can you identify how we can stay afloat? Everything is changing with technology. We know that. You know, you and I came from an age when this thing that is now in our pocket, this computer that calls people and goes into space, was something that was in the hallway of our family home, that if you had brothers and sisters, someone, I need to use it. You had to be at home to receive a call. The miracle of just an answering machine was, you know, a Radio Shack technology exponential advantage, to now this thing is all here that I can speak into it. It texts you a message wherever you are, and I can tell you, I'm going to be on time for the radio interview.
Right. Absolutely, because I can go back to those days where it looked like the radio that they had in the Army, right, when they were, you know, that big humongous thing, and then the old bagged phone in the car. You know, this is a state that has, for goodness sakes, a Grammy Museum in the Delta.
Yeah.
You know, and it has, we've seen different things. I know Jerry Lee Lewis's home has been put on the trail, right, for all kinds of things and more that people do come through here. I thought that 23 million was an interesting number. And again, you gave it out before I could, the population of Mississippi, obviously about three. So that does bring in the numbers. And we on the show have talked, you know, to industrial leaders and economic development people. There's a reason that within the Oxford Lafayette County area, certain businesses come here. There's also a reason why Amazon is in North Mississippi, not just because the interstate system and the intermodal probabilities and easy to get to an airport accessible is there, but there's also a reason that Google is coming for the first time in America somewhere in Northwest Mississippi, because they want to know. It may not be the top of their list, I get that, Wayne, but they want to know, there's something for my people to do, right?
Right, right.
There's something for them to be entertained with. They're not going to, because some of the higher-ups in these companies are going to be moved from large cities where they could go do anything and everything 24 hours a day. They're going to want to make sure that if we're moving this thing to North Mississippi, that there's something that my people can do.
Well, and, you know, you bring this up, and it is very interesting that, you know, that's that kind of quality of life that people talk about.
Correct.
The thing that people need to look at in that quality of life issue is both accessibility. They can get to it. They have lots of options. The probability of things occurring. But it also comes where communities that have access to creative experiences, arts and culture, are also have a closer knit sense of community. People are happier. And, you know, so if you think about, and I'm not saying that New York City people are unhappy, we know they are, but you know, as you think about it, people that are engaged and not just, I have an opportunity to go to a great thing like the Ford Center, but the sense that I have arts programs for children, and I have a free public park with sculpture that links the downtown through the university, and that I have a Ford Center, and I have a concert series, and we have all of these things, create sense of community. So it creates well-being, safety. It attracts a sense of community engagement, so people feel involved in their community. So they're working, but also the company is looking at, when my people leave work, it's not just, oh, I can entertain them. It's that they have a sense of happiness and well-being where they are, and that's what arts and culture does. It makes people love where they live. You know, data from a three-year study shows that local community development grows, not just housing and all of that, but the GDP of a community grows where there's arts and culture because people stay, they engage. We know from our economic studies, the work that the Arts Council with the other art creative groups in town has done, 70% of the people that come to an arts and cultural event in Lafayette County are from within the region. 30% are from outside. And most people would say, well, you know, we really want to get that tourism dollar. I'm really happy with those numbers in the sense that the number of people we service, over 233,000 a year, well, we all know the population of our community means people are engaging in multiple times, so they're coming out to different activities. You know, I see you at a fundraiser. I see the kids at a community event. I see you at a summer concert. So they're coming out multiple times. They're using the resource. And then the people that are visiting are not coming for, oh, we're going to Bonnaroo, we're going to come in, we're going to see the bands, we're going to get drunk, we're going to trash the neighborhood, we're going to leave, and we don't care about the place. They're coming for a sense of place. They're coming for Thacker and dining at the great restaurants. So all of these things that we do, that we describe as arts, that are major employers in our town, think about the restaurants, one of the major industries in our town, and that is a definer of us nationally. It's a major employer. It's an experience people take away. If you look at the tourism studies, people's food experiences define how they perceive the arts and culture.
Sure.
So you look at what we have, everything from a Mama Joe's to a Vishwesh Bhat who just won the James Beard to a John Curran's who's been at it for 2 decades, I think, to someone like Emily Blunt and Joe Sichkin at St. Leo, who are getting national recognition, but also transforming, you know, spaces like the Oxford Eagle into a lounge and a space that is both has energy and thriving and kind of revitalizing parts in the corners of town. These all bring people together and create that sense of community.
Good conversation going with Wayne Andrews with the Yonda Potapa Arts Council, who is part of, along with the Oxford Lafayette County Economic Development Foundation, an announcement that came out from our partner here, TVA, and that's why we have Wayne in as well, talking from that perspective for TVA about the Innovation Academy that begins in the spring of 2020. 10 communities.
10. Only 10 in all that TVA serves.
And so how did this happen, and what will be a part of that academy?
This, I'm very excited about this. Think about think about all the applications TVA received. And you're reading these applications, and Oxford stands out because the partnership that we presented to them was our economic development team with the Chamber, the University of Mississippi, and the arts guy. This is a town that says we're looking at us as a whole. We're looking at education, job and economic development, and community and culture. We want to look at a holistic, we made a pitch on a holistic look at our community of all of these things have to thrive together because it will retain the smart and talented students that the university is creating. It will inspire businesses to stay. We are fortunate to have a great company like Winchester in town. I'm not picking other ones. I just, had a conversation with them yesterday, so they're on the top of mind. But, we would like to retain those great jobs. They're community involved. They're invested. They're offering wonderful jobs. They're training. They do all of these things. So this fact that you've got a chamber and an economic development foundation going, it's not just can we get another Winchester. It's how do we retain? How do we ensure that we're inspiring? And then instead of chasing another Winchester, we have this great resource that is producing super talented people that love our community and the university. How do we get them exactly what you said at the coffee shop to go, I may go away, but I'm coming back. I'm going to go gain some knowledge and skill and then bring my newfound clout back to the town I love. So it's a very exciting thing. We'll be going to 3 kind of workshops and then doing almost this kind of business pitch of this is how we're going to transform the community. I think it's a great opportunity to get all 3 entities, kind of carving out time and thinking strategically. Think about, a university is a big, cumbersome entity with lots of things going on of all parts of leadership changes and things of that nature. So to have all these parts stepping back and saying, we're going to carve out time to think strategically of how not only do we grow today, but how do we use this opportunity to think about what we want to look like in 10 years and 20 years? We're fortunate that we have a board of supervisors and a chamber that have done economic plans and vision plans. And I'm glad this kind of thinking has trickled down into the partners that are executing it and going, here's a resource we can go to. We can do better. How do we do the day-to-day things that we end up where we want to be? What is it? A journey of 1,000 steps has started with the first one.
Absolutely. Were there any other communities in Mississippi that you know of out of these 10? Or did I just throw you a curveball a little bit? I'll take a peek at that because TVA has sent that. I just have the information on yours.
I don't think there's another Mississippi town.
I didn't see one, but that doesn't mean that there wasn't one. But again, considering how many states they cover, how many people they cover, to be one of 10, obviously, is something that you are really, you just got to be, all entities that you just mentioned have to be excited about. In fact, we're going to hear from the guys, John and Alan, with the Economic Development Foundation by the end of the month from their perspective on it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is a it's a great partnership to work with John and Alan. And one of the rewarding things, which, you know, again, you probably, people don't think about this, but right now I'm the, I think I'm the vice president of the chamber. I'll be the president next year. You don't have a chamber and economic development foundation often going out and saying, you know who we need to get more involved and grow the businesses and make engaging? Let's go get the arts guy.
Yeah. It's the ever-changing world of economic development. It's new thought, and you got to get that new thought, whether it's here or wherever it might be. But for Mississippi to try and gain on everyone else or to stay at whatever pace they might be going, it has to involve the art.
You know, think about that sentence. You know, it's. I think we should all be excited to hear that something in Mississippi is not last on the list. We're trying to be first on the list. And we're fortunate that we have community leaders and that we have organizations like the EDF and teams on the university that say, we are better together collaborating. How are we going to get there? That we're talking between groups about how to do it collectively. And then, you know, it is true. We're a small town. And we're one of the 10 in the inaugural Innovation Academy.
Good stuff. Wayne will be back with us after the break. You can stay. Can you stay?
I'd be happy to stay.
He can stay. We're going to talk about some events, and we'll have about 10 minutes to do it. Good conversation going on today with Wayne Andrews. Hold on.